Thank you for joining us at the Sick of Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Juwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
This month, our theme is, I am a star witness. Everyone say, I am a star witness. And I told you that a star witness is someone who has a significant testimony, probably the most significant testimony in a trial, a court trial. So this person is, you know, protected. They bring the person in at a very strategic point where the person can make the most difference in the court case. And usually the testimony they share will turn the case, will turn the jury towards the case of the people who are presenting the star witness. So I am a star witness, and we've been spending time looking at the commandment of Jesus in Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18 to 20. We're going to read it one more time, and I will want everybody to read with me. This was one of the last statements of our Lord Jesus Christ to us just before he ascended to heaven. Everybody, let's read. One, two, go. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been what? Has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Next verse, verse 20. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So this was our mission statement as the church. It says, go and tell people that there's a new order. I have all authority. Go tell people I love them. Go tell people they don't have to be hopeless anymore. Go tell people that they can pray to me. Go tell people that they can come to me, those who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give them rest. Go tell them your testimony. Go tell them what I have done in your own life. Go share with them. Teach them the things that I have already shown you and that I have already taught you. And don't limit the people you tell to. Tell it to all nations. Tell it to the young. Tell it to the old. Tell it to the male, the female, the white, the black, the yellow. Just tell it to everybody. And then, as you tell it to them, baptize them. Baptize them. To baptize them means help them to make a public commitment of coming into me, into my body. Help them to do that. Baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And as you do this, you will always experience my presence. He said, I am with you. I am with you. You will always experience my presence. You know, one thing I've discovered in my own life is that when we spend time with God in prayer, we experience the presence of God. You get what I'm saying? But where you will experience the most of God's presence as and manifestation is when you are sharing your witness. Are you going to listen to me? Where you are sharing, where you are preaching. Sorry, are you pastor? Are you pastor? The pastor from Wisconsin? Please, can you help me honor pastor and his wife? That's right. Please help me honor them, put them here. Thank you so much for coming. I was like, you know, he has sent me a text that he was going to be here today. We always want to honor, you know, men and women of God. Thank you. And if you need us, we could take care of the kids. There's a kids ministry downstairs. She will enjoy it if you don't mind. Yeah, they will take her there. Yes. Thank you so much for coming. Appreciate you. All right. So you will experience the best of God's presence in manifestation when you are sharing the gospel. You know, sometimes when I get, you know, I go out of my, what do you call it, out of my normal thing, either to preach or to do something, I get there and I start speaking. And after it, I'm like, was it you? Well, of course, it wasn't me. But some things that I experienced, I'm like, wow. It's like you begin to enjoy a part of the manifestation of God that you will never see when you are living a self-focused life that is only dealing with your own needs. You know, just the meeting we had yesterday, we had the opportunity to pray for somebody who was sick. You know, we had the opportunity to lead people to Christ. I mean, just seeing conviction, just seeing different things. I'm telling you, if you want to see the exciting part of Christianity, we have to leave the me mentality. We have to leave all this, you know, what I can get from Christianity mentality and start focusing on why am I here on the earth and what can I give? We need to start sharing our testimonies. You'll be amazed. You will grow spiritually fast. Fast. You know, you can be eating the word, studying the Bible, doing all that. What usually happens when you eat and you don't exercise is that the word start growing in places that it's not supposed to grow. You know, the food start growing. You know, it becomes fat and then it starts bulging here, bulging there, bulging all that. That's what food. So when we sit down also, we're just studying Bible. Before you know it, people start developing pot bellies. They start developing all kinds of stuff. And so you begin to see them manifest it in church. What usually happens is that people need some exercise. Amen. They need to share. When you start sharing, you become more balanced as a Christian. Because you start seeing, when people share their needs with you and you pray for them, you start seeing your own need in a different perspective. You are praying for, you know, $2,000, and then you meet somebody, you know, that comes to meet you and say, my family is about to break apart, my children are on drugs and all that. Your $2,000 just changes. And you begin to thank God that it's just $2,000. There's a way that ministering to people changes you. And I really want, you know, I have enjoyed this thing. I've enjoyed it for years, for decades of living a life that is focused on ministering to people and the opportunities it brings, the joy it brings. And I want everybody to get into this thing. Amen. That's what making a difference means. That's what fulfillment in life is. You know, they tell us about the different needs. Some of you, you know, in school, you've studied about Maslow, right? You know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You understand? The most basic of, Maslow's hierarchy of needs are just physical needs. They are physical needs, you know, like safety needs, you know, food and all that. But as you begin to go higher and higher. Now, you know, it was a particular level before, but they've added, you know, some more to it. But right now, the highest level in Maslow's hierarchy of need, the revised hierarchy of need is the need to be significant, to make a difference. It's called transcendence. Everybody say transcendence. So that's the highest level right now in Maslow's hierarchy. Transcendence. To live a life that is involved in something bigger than myself. To live a life that goes beyond myself and begins to impact others. That's when you experience the apex of what it means to be a human. What we call the maximized life. When a human gets to a point where they begin to transcend themselves, then they are experiencing what humanity is really about. Amen. Amen. And we can all do it in our different ways. The good thing is that it doesn't, and I'm going to teach you a simple way this morning, very shortly, how you can begin the journey of making a difference. Amen. So today, I want to teach on what I titled the power of kindness. Everybody say the power of kindness. The power of kindness. It's a simple way to becoming a star witness for Christ. Because all of us have kindness inside of us. And we can show it. The power of kindness. Amen. Now, John chapter 3 verse 16 is the most popular verse in the world. So everybody, let's say it together. One, two, go. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Now, God loved the world. Now, before you know, how do I say? There's a context to this. It was a world that was lost to him. It was a world that was against him. And God wanted a solution to bring the world back to himself. And what did he do? He chose love. Because it's love. So the method God used to bring us back to himself was by showing us love. By showing us kindness. So what did he do? He got what was precious to him, his only begotten son, and gave him to the world so that anybody who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So God fixed the world, or he created a solution for the world through an act of kindness. Jesus is the greatest act of kindness ever shown. God coming down into human bodies to die. Amen. Coming down into human body to come and die for humans is the greatest act of God's kind, of kindness ever shown. So, for us to also become witnesses or world changers, people who make a difference, we can also use God's method. In fact, we should be using it, of showing kindness, of injecting kindness into the lives of everybody that we meet, into places that we find ourselves. I can assure you that if you inject kindness into your place of work, even sometimes without saying a word, you begin to win people to Jesus. It was St. Francis of Assisi who said, he said, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. Preach what? The gospel. And if necessary, do what? Use words. In other words, first of all, start by preaching it with your life, with your kind life. Let nobody come in contact with you and feel diminished. Let people come in contact with you and feel exalted, like they are the most important thing in the world. Because they are, because they were created in the image of God. So kindness, everybody say kindness, is a simple way. Everybody say that. Say kindness is a simple way to become a star witness for God. So I want to show you quickly, 6 things that your act of kindness can accomplish. And then the 7th one, I'll just, you know, add a particular thing and then we're going to end. The first one, your acts of kindness demonstrate God's love and acceptance for everyone. How many of you know that God accepts everybody? God may not agree with the lifestyle of everybody. He doesn't agree with everybody's lifestyle. God will not condone everything that we do, but he accepts everyone and he loves everybody. He loves everybody equally. Everybody say equally. Equally. You mean God loves the murderer? Yes. He loves the murderer because God's love is unconditional. The moment you put a condition to the love of God, it is no longer God's love. It has become human love. Human love requires a condition before you can love. But God's love is undeserved with no condition attached. So that's why God loves the saints and the sinners. That's why when Jesus was on earth, he spent more time with the people that people call the publicans and the sinners. And the prostitutes and the people that are despised in society more than is spent with those who are the sanctimonious Pharisees. Jesus lived a life to show that God accepts everyone and God loves everyone. I love that hymn that says, just as I am, without one plea. In other words, I just come to you, just as I am, without what? Just as I am. I don't need to change anything. You don't need to change anything to come to Jesus. He's the changer, not you. He's the changer. Just come as you are. God accepts everybody. So, if God, who we serve, accepts everybody, let me show you some scriptures. First of all, let's look at quickly verse. Please go to the... Okay, before we look at the scripture, let me say this statement to set up the scripture. So because God accepts everybody and is our Father, He wants us also to model that, to be people that accepts everyone. Do you get that? He wants us to be like our Father in heaven. So it doesn't matter whether they are gay, it doesn't matter whether they are, what do you call it? You know, they are prisoners, they are poor, they are rich, they are weak, they are children, they are adults. God wants us to accept everyone. Like I told you, accepting does not mean that you condone or you believe in what they are doing. But it means that you are kind to everybody. He wants us to demonstrate that. Let's read Matthew chapter 5 from verse 41 to 47. Matthew 5 from 41 to, start from verse 40. He said, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. So that was the law. But I say, love your enemies. Everybody say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute you. People that mock your religion, they mock your commitment. He said, pray for them and love them. He said, in that way, you will be acting as true children. Everybody say, I want to be a true child. So what it means is that you can be a child of God. You understand? You can be a child of God. You have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But you become a true child when you begin to act like Him. You know, just like you see people, you see a son, you say, wow, you are really my son. You are really my daughter. When parents say that, what are they saying? They see the child doing something similar to what? What they do. Something that they like. That's what it means there. He said, you'll be a true child. So that means there are some false children of God. There's some people that they are Christians, but they give God a bad name because they are nasty. They're nasty to everybody. They are judgmental. And that has become a brand of the church. And I'm going to show you how to change the brand of the church. Amen. How to change it. You know, this what I'm teaching you today. People are nasty. Christians are nasty people. Well, my wife said I should modify it. Can't be nasty people. But I tell you that some of the nastiest people in this world are Christians. And the nastiest things take place in church. Some people who don't have Christ are nicer. They are nicer than Christians. So people use that to blame God. Well, it's Christians you to blame. You know, my Gandhi went to a church. The guy could have been converted. And that guy could have been a key to India. He went to a church. And because he was an Indian of darker skin, he was in South Africa also then. Because he was, you know, of a darker skin, they discriminated against him. And he left the place. He said, I love the Christ. I love Christ. The Christ of the Bible. But I hate the Christians. Said, I hate the Christians, but I love Christ. But I hate the Christians. Do you know how many people we have turned away that way? Because we're so nasty. We're so judgmental. You shouldn't cut your hair that way. If I ever hear anybody tell anybody about how they do their hair in this place, I will deal with you. I'll be nasty. You, if you only just love those who love you, I mean, you are not doing anything if somebody is always loving you, giving you things, and those are the only people that you love and you spend time with and you do all that. There's nothing there. There's no reward there. You are just a normal person. What reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. Verse 47. If you are kind to only your friends, are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. Verse 48. But you are to be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. What he's saying is that you are supposed to begin to take on the characteristics of your heavenly Father, who causes his son to shine. Continue going. Who causes his son to shine upon the just and the unjust? Please, is that the last one there? Or is there another verse after that? Could you use my notes? I have all the scriptures in my notes. Amen. But if you are perfect, even as your Father in heaven is what? Is perfect. So we need to copy him. Amen. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, everybody say whenever. So for example, every time we come to church, it's an opportunity. Usually new people come to church every time. And sometimes, you know, you just watch, you see people just relating with their friends. And everybody just hanging out. And there's a new person sitting down there and just watching everyone. We have lost some Mahatma Gandhi that way. Because you say, well, it's a close-knit circle. It's a club that nobody can get into. No! For a brief moment, for some time, you can fraternize with your friends, you know, at another time. When we come to church, we're here to love. Yeah. Turn to somebody you don't know. Ask, how was your week? Can I pray for you? Or how can I serve you? Amen. Give your seat up for somebody else. Hallelujah. Do something. Show kindness. Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. Everybody say everyone. So that covers everybody in the community, especially those who are to the family of faith. So we also do, especially those who are in the family of faith. Because when we love one another, it's a testimony to the world. Did everybody get that? Number two, your act of kindness contributes to filling everywhere with God's presence and praise. So, if you look at the world right now, you will see that there's a lot of nastiness there. Isn't that true? There's a lot of meanness. There's a lot of killings, stealings, destructions. People backbiting one another. People, you know, stabbing one another at the back. People fighting, complaining. Isn't it horrible that if the world is like that, isn't it horrible? One of the things I hate the most about church or church people, it's when they start fighting one another. And that's why Paul was saying that you fight. Don't you even know, don't even understand where you are, that the world is watching? You're supposed to be the light and the salt, but you are the ones who is also picking up a fight. He said, why don't you rather let people cheat you? That's what Paul said. This is not my word. He said, why don't you rather let people cheat you? Just for you to be able to be a light. So everywhere is filled with nastiness and all that. Let's use this microcosm of this community, the Kenwood, the Bronzeville, you know, Southside, South Loop, all these places, or Chicago. There's a lot of nastiness everywhere. How will God fill the place with his presence? What he will do is that he will put you in all those places, and you are supposed to represent him there to fill the place with his kindness. When somebody is about to cut you off on the road, it's an opportunity to fill the place with God's presence. I say, God bless you. Amen. Not curse. Amen. It's an opportunity. Somebody jumps in front of you, the queue. It's an opportunity for you to show kindness. You say, no, go ahead. Probably something is going on. Go ahead. You say, it's an opportunity to show kindness. There's nastiness around. We are the ones who are supposed to fill the nastiness with kindness. Let's see. Don't take my word for it. Take the words of scripture. Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of Kenwood. You are the salt of Chicago. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? Everybody say, I'm not losing my flavor. No, say, I'm not losing my flavor. Tell your neighbor, say, no matter the nastiness I've gone through, the pain I've gone through, who has hurt me, who has disappointed me, I'm not losing my salt. It's not worth it. Because if you lose your salt, he said it will be thrown out and trampled for everybody to step upon. Do you know the reason why the world is stepping upon the church right now? Do you know why the world is stepping upon the church? Because we have lost our salt. They persecuted the church in the beginning. They've always persecuted the church. But they always have some respect for them, that these people are not compromising and their love. They saw the love in their midst. But now when you say church, I say, those triskers, those oxters, you know, they only want money. You know, some people have come to me, I'll tell you some things, you know, some people have come to me in this community to tell me about some pastors. Of course, I don't, you know, I'm talking about community people. And they'll say, they call one pastor, they say, that one is a little devil. That's the name they call the pastor. This is community people, born here, raised here. They say, that one is a little devil. Why? Because withholding buildings and doing all that. You know, since we got this building, we say it's going to be a gift to the community. That's what we said. It doesn't matter if the carpet is dirty. What's the purpose of the carpet? Is it to be clean? The purpose of the carpet is to be used. Then we will clean it. Amen? Children run around. They pour things on the floor. They do all that. Clean it. I'd rather have children running around and pointing on the floor than the place will be clean and nobody is doing anything there. So we give our buildings to the community to use. From the very beginning, we began to partner with this community for many, many years right now to partner with different people. So, you know, when you go talk to them, do you know the brand we have? They say, that church, they are generous. They are good people. That's the brand. It's deliberate. It's deliberate. Stop being nasty about and protective of things, of God's stuff, overprotective. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the city. You are the light of the community. You know, sometimes I walk around and there's some things I'm going to do before I'm done with this building. You know, by the way, just to share a testimony, we got a property given to us for free by a bank. Amen. Hallelujah. We shall be sharing more with you guys. But also before we're done with this place, you know, sometimes I drive around, I'm like, this building ought to reflect the most excellence in this area. So you see the way I have, if there's grass growing, if there's something growing. No, we are the light. Sometimes, you know, I go in the ghettos and all that, and I'll see the churches. The churches have become ghettoized themselves. Do you hear what I'm saying? So you see grass growing all over the church itself and all that because of the place it is in. No, the church is supposed to stand out so that you can lift everybody. I love it yesterday when the children of the church, they went all around this place and picked up all the trash. Come on, let's put our hands together for the kids. We are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Verse 15, quickly, 15. Now I need to move fast. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Final verse 16. In the same way, everybody read together. I want to go. Let your good deeds shine out for what? For all to see. So that everyone will do what? Amen. So you are the one doing it, but they are lifting up their hands, what? And praising the Heavenly Father. So sometimes you can make people praise the Heavenly Father without you saying a word to them. By just being a light. By just being kind. Everybody say, by being kind. by being kind, by being loving. You can get a whole community to praise God by just being loving. Hallelujah. Next one, number three. So it contributes to filling the place with. So the nastiness is there. You contribute to filling it with something else as each of us begins to show kindness everywhere we find ourselves. Number three, your act of kindness creates goodwill and opens people's hearts. It redefines the church. It creates what? Goodwill. Open people's hearts. Amen. And it redefines the church. A lot of people's minds are closed to the church because they've experienced the nastiness of the church. So you, no matter how much you preach to them to come to Christ, all they remember is how terrible church was. Talk to your Uber drivers. I'll give you, if you take Uber, just talk to them. You see, many of them will share with you that they've been in church before. When you tell them, come to church, they say, I used to go to church. I used to wonder, how come all everybody I meet used to go to church and they don't go to church anymore? Why? Or they were raised in church and they don't go to church anymore. Because they've experienced nastiness. They've not met with Christ through the church. But when you start acting kindly, when you start doing kind things, you open people's hearts. And suddenly, in the minds of people, the church starts getting redefined. And they start saying, wow, which church do you go to? Why are you doing this? Amen? You start redefining what Christianity means by being kinder. Let's look at the verses quickly. Bible talked about the church in the Acts of the Apostle. It says they worshipped together at the temple each day. So there was a church that had a lot of worship. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. So they had small groups, like the small groups that were kicking off the new semester of small groups in September, beginning of September. And there's opportunity to start registering for them right now. We're going to talk more about that. They share their meals with joy and generosity. Everybody say generosity. So it's not that they're fighting over food. You are taking too much. You're taking, They were sharing their meals. There was a spirit of generosity that was ongoing within the church. All the while, they were praising God. And then, what did they begin to enjoy? Everybody read. What did they begin to enjoy? They began to enjoy the goodwill of the community. And then, as a result of that, each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Each day. So because they were doing it daily, each day. If you are doing it weekly, each week. Amen? Just by sharing, being generous. Like what I talked about yesterday. Like people just coming to eat and doing all that. And then you see people in church today. By just being generous. Amen? God was adding to the church. Bible says one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia. A dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to God's message. I use that to tell you that for people to respond to your message, their hearts have to be opened. If they hate the messenger, they will not accept the message. Are you listening? If they don't like the messenger, they will not accept the message. So that's why we as messengers need to be nicer. Everybody say nicer. We need to be kinder. So that people can accept the message. So that God can use that kindness to open up the hearts of people to the message of the gospel. Next one. Number four. I put something in there. I said, people are a lot like porcupines. Ever say they're a lot like porcupines? You know what porcupines are, right? Hedgehog and all that. They either run to us with their soft, vulnerable side, or their prickly, skeptical side that says, I don't want to hear anything about this Jesus you're talking about, depending on how you treat them. So you can meet the prickly side because you are not nice or nasty. But when you start being nice to people, they will turn another side of themselves. I tell you, everybody has that side. They will turn another side of themselves in response to love. So that's what we need so that we can be star witnesses for Christ. For your act of kindness creates opportunities for conversations. Your act of kindness creates opportunities for what? Conversations. So that's why I said this is the entry level way to being able to share the gospel. It's the entry level. Not everybody can do cold calls. Say, I came to preach the gospel. You are sitting by the plane to start a conversation or something. Not everybody can do that. The entry level way is this. Everybody wants a gift. Everybody loves, wants to receive kindness. Everybody wants to be, you know, right? So, you know, they want to be loved. So they might say, I don't want it. I don't want it. Like some guys, they say, I don't want it. And then before you know, they're all walking back and they're coming and they're sitting down. But at first, you know, but everybody responds to what? To kindness. So it's entry level way. So if you show kindness to somebody, then they will ask you a question. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? What's the catch? What's the catch? Why did you just, you know, pay my, you know, you were driving, you know, well, if you eat McDonald's, so just use McDonald's. If you have another restaurant, you are driving there and you just say, pay for the guy behind me. You know, you said, I've already paid for the guy. What's this? Whatever. I paid for it. And then, the guy wonders, why did he do that? It's an opportunity for what? For conversation. Are you guys getting what I'm saying? It's an opportunity. Or you go to a restaurant and instead of giving that measly tip that you give, sometimes, you know, you calculate it and calculate it to the dot. You just do something a little bit more generous. And the waiter says, wow, why are you doing this? It's an opportunity to share. Amen? Because God loves you. And I'm supposed to represent him. So I'm showing you love too. Amen? That's what kindness allows us to do. Let's read the scripture. Where's that? Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. Do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they'll be ashamed when they see what a good life you have because you belong to Christ. Because of the way you are doing, people will ask you, they will come, what's the reason? Why are you doing this? Then you can use that opportunity to share with them. Jesus practiced it. Said the woman was surprised. The woman that Jesus met by the well, a Samaritan. Jesus showed her kindness, you know, by talking to her. You know, Jews don't talk to Samaritans. He said, the woman was surprised. For Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew. And I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Jesus replied, if you need the gift of God for you and who you are speaking to, you will ask me and I will give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. She said, it is well. The well is very deep. Where are you going to get? And then you know, Jesus began to talk. Jesus began to talk about her husband. And this woman became an evangelist later, like I preached on the first Sunday. Just because Jesus Christ showed her kindness by talking to her. He talked to a woman because a rabbi doesn't talk to a woman outside like that. That's why the disciples were surprised. And then number two, talk to a Samaritan. Jews don't talk to Samaritans. Amen? Show kindness. People that they say you should not talk to. Because of their color, because of their status, because of that. Sit down with them and have a conversation. They are smelling and under. Let the smell come on you. They are smoking. Let the smoke come on you. Amen. Just show some love. And you'll see what God can do through it. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the toughest things, you know, I said, I'll share stories, just to encourage you, you know. You know, one of the most heartrending thing, you know, that I've done in ministry in this place was bringing a cocaine addicted person into my house. When the person was going through, you know, the person had overdosed. Do you get what I'm saying? It was night, we couldn't do anything. And then I had to take the person to the house. And then my kids, everybody was, you know, seeing the person as the person was writhing in pain. We were supposed to go to a rehab center the next day. The whole house, you know, was disrupted. Amen. But I thank God because that person got rehabbed. Amen. And from, you know, and eventually the person moved to another state. And from what I hear about the person right now, the person is doing much better. But what I'm saying is sometimes you are going to have to make yourself uncomfortable. Amen. You are going to have to do some things that, you know, will be a shock to yourself. Just to be kind. You know, people come to this place a lot. And one of the things we said is that, you remember we said that nobody comes to this place to ask us for anything and we turn them away. So sometimes everybody has gone and I'm left with the person and I'm driving the person all around or whatever. Maybe the person needs accommodation or whatever. I'll try to find a hotel or find something or find food just because of that. And nobody will come to this place. We might not be able to help you forever. We'll either find somebody who can help you or nothing. And we have kept that. But it's not been easy. It's not been easy. I'm telling you, that's Christianity. That's Christianity. Hallelujah. Your acts of kindness can lead to change. I'm really behind on my time, so I got to rush. Your act of kindness, bring that thing, you know, that you were bringing. It's okay. Your act of kindness can lead to what? Can lead to change. In other words, you do not know when you start showing kindness towards somebody, you think that the only thing that changes people is when you lay hands on them and say, hey, in Jesus' name. Or when you, some acts of kindness will change people. I've seen people change by love. Because God is love. Just because you refuse to condemn them. They tell you a story, they said they are in sexual sin or whatever, and you just say, it's okay. I was also in some things. Hey! You are going to hell! And you just continue to love them. You see them begin to change. It's not everything. I mean, it's way too judgmental. It's not everything that you have to open your mouth. What about your own life? What are the things that you are doing that nobody knows? But when you hear about somebody that fell or somebody that whatever, you begin to talk as if it's the greatest, it's the worst things in this world. It doesn't move me. People have told me things. People have told me they are gay. They've told me that they are what gay in this church. It doesn't move me. And I didn't remove them from leadership. I just said, don't practice it. Well, somebody said, who is it? I said, is it Pastor Omar? It'll be all right. So, because some of these... Sometimes I'm going to get a text message and say, Pastor, that thing that you're talking about, okay, it's not Pastor. Can we delete that? Okay. Just a disclaimer. But what I'm saying, that people have come to me, in a sense, serving as volunteers in the church, and they've told me that they have same-sex attraction. It doesn't bother me. I say, yes, I also have some attractions that I don't like. So, but I don't have to practice them. So, let's not practice it. Let's believe God to heal all of us. Amen. All right. Praise God. But I love you. And I'm not going to remove you from what you are doing. You are working in purpose and all that. No, let's work together. We'll work privately. We'll do all that. But keep serving God. I'm fighting. You are fighting. Everybody in church is fighting. Is that it? Amen. Did I balance it well now? But you can say, anchor, 1, 2, 3, who is it? When he had finished speaking. Oh, sorry. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Well, now God uses kindness to turn people around. Not judgment. So by us being kind also, we can turn people around. Amen. And they say, you believed in me at that time. You know what? God has changed me now. But I thank God because you didn't judge me. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let your nets down to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we walked out last night and didn't catch a fish, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down. And this time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now you'll be fishing for fish, you know, for people. So Jesus used kindness, helping him with his boat and his fishing business. And this man just repented before God because of the kindness of Jesus and became a great apostle. Kindness can turn people around. Number 6, right? Your acts of kindness produces a shock factor because kindness is uncommon. Your acts of kindness produces what? A shock factor because kindness is uncommon. And listen, we need to shock the world to loving Jesus. We need to shock people again and tell them that, oh, your definition of church, your idea of church is different. I'm different. I'm from a different company. I'm a city light. Amen. You shock them. Hey, why do you do that? I like to shock people. I like to shock people with trust. I like to shock people. I just say, you know, go do that. And I turn my back. And they say, why did you trust me with that? Yeah, I like to shock people. Amen. I like to trust people. It produces a shock factor because most people are unkind. So when you do that, it's like you become uncommon. Amen. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stopped him, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed by. That's the common thing, to lift people when they are down. To tell them, the reason why you fell down, how can you be traveling at night alone? Don't you have sense? Seed time and harvest time shall not cease. That's why that thing is happening to you. The reason why your marriage is broken right now is because of your own foolishness. You know, it's because, you know, we judge people. We judge people's experiences. We tell them and all that. So we walk by the other side. Yeah. You know, you've been doing drugs all the while. And that's why, that's what's happening to you now. And you are, and that's why you are in jail. A temple assistant walked over. How come ever? Temple assistants. The first one was me. Amen. Priest, and the anchor member walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed to what? To the other side. Then, after Pastor Lyon and all the anchor people passed, then a new believer in the church that nobody even says is spiritual or whatever passed by and soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he puts the man on his own donkey. He puts him in his car. Some people, your cars are too sacred. Your cars are too sacred. I've had people that say, I don't want any dirt in my car. My God. Is that the only car? Is that the car you are taking to your grave? What kind of nonsense is that? Don't they have places where you can clean your car? You see, I want to break some things today, man. Play the keyboard to stop me. Amen. Your houses are too sacred. Your cars are too sacred. See, I don't want any. I don't want somebody who is on drugs. I don't want somebody who is smoking in my car. I don't want... Listen, have you... all my cars, I call them. By the time they are dead, I'm buried. I call them missionary car number one. God bless you. My cars plant churches. There's a car, the one that I just disposed of, planted three churches. Three churches. Amen. And then, by the time it was about to be disposed, it went to a missionary that visits people, you know, some who are short. So that car would know that it came in contact with a missionary. Your what you own should know who you are. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't be a Christian and your car is a, what they call it, bougie, or what do they call it? Your car is, you know, like. Don't say you're a Christian. You just clean the, you know, this is a cool car. Stop it! Let your car be like Jesus, who went about doing good, healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. And then God will be there. And then when God's there, he will give you another one. Let your houses be like that. Stop putting all this sacred thing. Let God use your boat. Stop it! When we're doing the building project in this place, my car, even the one I see drive right now, was the trash container. Because we couldn't, we're spending so much money. What did they call that company? Lulu is not the,
not you all, the company that used to supply us with the dumpster man was loved our church so much. Because every 2 weeks or whatever, we pay 400 and something just to have him put his dumpster there. To put all these things that were taken out of this place, to put it there, they'll come and carry it, then you put another one there. He started giving us discounts, started loving us. We're doing it weeks after week, year after year. And even the dumpster will be filled up. They will say, don't fill it to this level. After a while, I just had an idea that the city puts dumpsters all around in different subdivisions. There was one beside my house and all that. I'm like, I can save the church some money. Put it at the back of my car in the night. I'll drive to the place, take it out and dump it in the city dumpster. It's not a crime. Amen. Drop it there. Saving money. Hallelujah. And then I clean up the car. Amen. Stop, you know. Say, put him inside his donkey. He put him on his own donkey, not a second donkey, his own. And he was probably walking. And took him to a hospital. And took care of him. And then said, I will come back. Understand? Take care of him. You know. Take the silver coin. Take care of this man. If the bills runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I am here. Put it on my credit. I'll pay you the next time that I'm here. That's uncommon. That's what Jesus was saying. So Jesus said, which of this one do you think is the neighbor? Everybody say, oh, that one. Yeah, that's uncommon, but that's what being a neighbor is. That's what being a Christian is. A Christian is an uncommon lover. It's an uncommon person who uses all that he has to be kind. It's time. Don't make your time also sacred that you have no place. Listen, you must learn to lead the margins. You know, please let me find that scripture. The scripture in the Old Testament says that when you reap your field, he said, make sure you don't reap the edges. Make sure you don't reap the edges so that you can leave it for the widows, the orphans. You know, that was never spend all that you have, that you have no place to be able to show, to be able to love other people. Always leave a margin that you can use in your time. I teach people in the leading light, when you're planning your time, the first thing you do, you have 168 hours in a week. The first 16.8 hours should be devoted to God and for the love of humanity. That's the first thing you do. 16.8 hours. And that includes your church service. That includes your midweek service. That includes your small groups. That includes your volunteering. You calculate it. Try and put 16. I said, let's assume that we spend 5 hours in church. Put it there. Then we spend another 3 hours in my body. That's 8 hours. Then you volunteer. You go to small group for another 2 hours during the week. That's 10 hours. Then you serve in your department and did all that, or go somewhere, put another 5 hours there. You still have not paid the tithe of to the one who gave you life. And that's why some of our times are out of whack, because we have not prioritized the right things. Did you find the scripture? When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Verse 10. Do not go over your vineyard a second time. Calculate. Or pick up the grapes that are fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. You know, I'm the one that will take care of you. But make sure you leave some part of what you have, some part of your time, some part of your love, some part of your commitment for the poor. Don't finish it all on yourself. Some part of your house, some part of your car. I've used my house so much that I've decided right now, I am going to build a place. And when I decided I'm going to build a place, God sent that bank and gave us land. And we're going to build a place there to help people who are temporarily displaced. Finally, verse number 7. When possible, your acts of kindness should be accompanied by the message of Christ, or an opportunity to know more about him. Please, can you bring that thing?
That sign that I said. Yeah, bring it forward. Your act of kindness should be accompanied by an opportunity to know Christ, to know more about Christ, or by sharing a message. The reason is because, look at the scripture. The reason is because people don't get saved directly by acts of kindness. They get saved by the message of the gospel. Romans 10:14 says, so faith comes by hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. So people don't get saved. Your act of kindness can open them up, can make them more disposed. But you share something. And that's why we created this thing. By the way, somebody keeps turning this thing. Maybe I need to make that. Keeps turning it around. I deliberately left it this way. This way. So that people can know that it is. There are two sides to the card. Amen. Hallelujah. So we created these cards. And so some of you don't understand what it is. We call it change your world one person at a time. Share an act of kindness. So you're supposed to take this card and we'll keep replenishing it. You take some of these cards along. When you do any act of kindness, you give an extra tip. You paid somebody's at McDonald's that is behind you. You clean some of your neighbor's yard. You pick up, you know, whatever. You leave this. Amen. It says something extra to show God loves you. In other words, I just did something for you extra to show God loves you. Now, this one tells them that it is God. You are doing it in the name of God, right? This one has the information of the church. So in case they don't have to come to this church. Amen. But I want them to know that it is the body of Christ doing it. So maybe it's the next church that they will go to and say, oh, some one church is doing it. But if they come to this place too, it's a great thing. Amen. So we have this for you free. Pick some of them, put them in your wallet. And every time you have the opportunity to do an act of kindness, and they ask you a question, just give it to them. I'm just doing it because Christ loves you. That's all. You are being a star witness. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.